Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
I want to read a few verses to you this morning, and probably a passage of scripture. If you've been in church very long at all, you've heard somebody preach out of. I preached out of it myself along the way. But let me give you a thought here today out of Acts chapter number 26. I'm going to pick up reading in verse number 22 for the sake of time. We really need to read the whole chapter, but I'll pick up verse number 22 and then I'll make reference to some other verses as we preach this morning. The Bible said this: having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets of Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. And he's not saying that Paul is angry right there. He's saying that Paul is crazy. He's saying, Paul, you're a crazy man. You've got saved and you've just went wild for Jesus. And can I say it this way? If it was today, they would have said he was a fanatic for the Lord. That's what he's saying to him. He said, you're crazy, man. Goes on to say in verse number 25, but he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth these things, before whom also I speak freely. I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And I want to preach on that thought, almost saved, this morning. Father, I love you today, and I pray that over the next few minutes, God, that you'd use us today. We sure need to hear from you. And I pray, God, that you'd forgive us when out our shortcomings, God. If there'd be any sin in our life, God, I pray that you'd forgive us for it today. Help us, Lord, as we preach this morning. God, may we hear from you. God, thank you, Lord, for the great singing, God, of the choir, the special singing. God, thank you, Lord, for talented musicians today. But God, I pray that the Holy Spirit would use us as we preach today, God. Father, I pray that if there's any here lost, that today would be the day of salvation for them. God, may they not leave saying, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. Again, I want to look into these verses for just a little while and preach on almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. In this passage that we've read in our hearing this morning, there is three different men mentioned, and all have a different view of Christ. There's Festus, Paul, and King Agrippa. As you study the Word of God, I believe that we could say it this way. Festus represents those who hate the Lord. He was agnostic toward the gospel message. He accused Paul of being mad. They said the same thing about the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, in Mark 3 and John 10. And can I just say something to you? When it comes to the things of this world, if someone gives their all to gain money, pleasure, power, prestige, on and on we could go, the world says nothing about it. But you let somebody get saved and sell out to some serve God and go all out for the Lord. And you know what? The world immediately begins to point their finger at them. Man, they think they're better than everybody else, or they think this, or they think that. Man, if we can go all out for everything else, why can't we go all out for the Lord? And Festus represented those who hate the Lord. Then you have the Apostle Paul here in the book. And those here at the Apostle Paul, he represents those who honor the Lord. He was sold out. He was living for God. He was giving God everything. Matter of fact, if you was to read the book of Philippians, chapter number 1, you'll find in verse number 21, Paul said this, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." You know what Paul was saying? Paul was simply saying this, "I'm giving everything for the Lord. I am sold out for the Lord." And can I just say this in passing to you today? You're living in chapter 1, verse 21 of Philippians, or you're either living in chapter 2, verse 21, where the Bible said this, "For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ." You're either living for yourself in chapter 2, verse 21, or you're living for Christ in chapter 1, verse 21. And can I say this to you today? May we be more like him, amen? And Paul represents that person who is sold out and that person that is living for Christ. Then we've got one other person here in our text, and that is King Agrippa that we'll look at. Whenever we come to Agrippa, he represents those who are holding out on the Lord. People like Agrippa are right on the verge of coming to Jesus, but for some reason, they are holding out. He was close, but as the old saying is, close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. He was close. He was almost a Christian, but he was altogether lost. He was almost saved, but altogether lost. Matter of fact, if you'll study the Word of God today, you'll find that there is numerous stories in our Bible about almost Israel at Kadesh Barnea. In Numbers chapter 13 and 14, the concubine. In Judges 19, the scribes. In Mark chapter number 12, they was all at that place where verse 28 brings King Agrippa. Almost is where we find King Agrippa today. He is almost a Christian, but he is still lost. He's almost a believer, but he's still an unbeliever. He is close, yet he is so far away. You say, "Preacher, what are you saying today?" Here's what I'm saying. It would be a tragedy to be almost a Christian, but then die and go to hell. It would be a tragedy today, whenever we study the Word of God, to sit in the house of God, to listen to the preaching of the Word of God, to have an opportunity to walk an aisle and be saved by the grace of God, and still die and go to devil's hell. He was close, but he wasn't there. He was almost, but he was altogether lost. I thought about this by way of introduction. What caused Agrippa to be almost? Why did he come to this place of almost? Can I say this to you by way of introduction? Number one, I think maybe this kept Agrippa from being saved. Can I say this to you? Pride. Pride. You know, a lot of people don't get saved because of that. What's everybody else going to think about me? What's everybody else going to say about me? How's everybody else going to react to me? Can I say something to you today? Don't allow your pride to cause you to die and go to devil's hell. I believe that it could have been pride. Proverbs said this, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall." Psalm said this in chapter 73. He said, "Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain." Proverbs 29. 9 said this, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Psalms division number 10 said this, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this, pride kept King Agrippa from getting saved. Hear me well today. Don't allow your pride to cause you to die and go to hell. Well, it wouldn't matter what everybody else said. What matters is salvation today and knowing for sure that you'd go to heaven. What was it? I would say maybe it was pride. Can I say this to you? Maybe it was his position. Maybe it was his position. Who is he? He's King Agrippa. Maybe because of his position, he wouldn't get saved. I remember when I got saved, I was 16 years old, and the majority of you has heard my testimony about when I got saved. I grew up in a preacher's home. All I ever knew was going to church. All I ever knew was the house of God. All I ever knew was traveling all over the country with my dad, and literally even all over the world with my dad and him preaching in meetings. That's all I ever knew. I was known as the PK, the preacher's kid. And you know the reason they're so mean is because they hang out with the DK, the deacon's kids. But anyway, I'll never forget the night I got saved. Boy, I had to push that quote unquote Brother Matt position to the side. I didn't care what nobody thought about me. My position was this: I was lost and was going to die and go to hell, and I was not going to allow my pride to stop me from getting to an altar. Maybe it was his pride. Maybe it was his position. What about this? I'll preach to you in just a second. Maybe it was his peer pressure. Peer pressure. And you say, well, man, that goes out. That goes out as you grow older. Man, you're crazy. You're crazy. You ever done something, the only reason you've done it, Brother Bailey, is because of peer pressure, and you regretted it at the end? He's pointing at me, that peer pressure. I guess he's saying, I just want to put peer pressure on him. That day, he went off that hill on that snow sled and hit that jump and landed on his head. But, man, it was so funny. I hate it was at your expense, but every once in a while I'm having a bad day and I just pull that video out, Brother Bailey, and I watch that video all over again. It makes everything bad. It makes it good. What's this peer pressure? You know, a lot of people won't get saved because of that. Maybe it was the peer pressure. Felix and all the others were sitting there watching Paul as he's witnessing to it. And I thought about this. The Bible said this. In Galatians chapter number 1, verse number 10. Do I now persuade men, O God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased the men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Now, I'll tell you something today. May we jump the peer pressure. What caused Agrippa to say, almost thou persuadest me? Can I say this? Procrastination. That's simply what we can bring it down to today. And I'm going to give you a thought here in just a minute. We're going to go home. It was procrastination. He just decided, you know what? Maybe I'll wait till tomorrow. Maybe, and boy, we could go through scripture and pull different things out. Maybe I'll just wait for a convenient season. Maybe I'll do it tomorrow. You know what? The devil will never tell you not to get saved. The devil will just simply tell you to wait till tomorrow to get saved. Just wait till tomorrow. Just wait till tomorrow. Are you not reminded of what the Bible said in James chapter number 4? He said this, go to now ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. What did the Bible say in Proverbs chapter 27, he said, boast not thyself of the morrow, for thou knowest not what the morrow may bring. Acts said this in chapter 17, and when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again on this matter. What are they saying? We're just going to wait. We're just going to wait. You know what? There are many, many, many multitudes in hell today burning in everlasting damnation. Why? Because they said, I'll just wait till tomorrow to get saved. I'll put it off to the next service. I'll do it the next day. Hear me and hear me well. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't even know if we have our next breath to breathe. Matter of fact, it was a little over a year ago. You're looking at it by Sundays and not by dates. It would have been a year ago this past Sunday. A year ago this past Sunday morning, Sunday night, I went home from church. I went through my routine of eating eggs and French fries. Somebody say amen for eggs and French fries. And don't say amen for French fries when you're trying to stop them a little bit. But anyway, I watched this. I went home, went to bed, normal life. At 2 o'clock that morning, I woke up and I thought my head was absolutely going to blow off of my shoulders. To make the next 5 weeks short, you that knows, a year ago today, I wasn't in the pulpit. I was at home. I was sick. They was trying to figure out what was wrong with me. It started out as Rocky Mountain spotted fever and ended up in meningitis. I ended up at Forsyth in the hospital for almost a week. You know what? I thought the next day was just going to be an ordinary day. I thought I was going to go to bed. I was going to wake up and live an ordinary day the next day. But boy, God had a different plan for my life. And you may be sitting here today and you're lost, you're on the road to hell, you know that deep down inside, and you keep procrastinating. One day you'll procrastinate the last time. It said, almost thou persuadest me. Agrippa couldn't blame his lost condition on the preacher. Let me tell you the reason why. He heard, besides the Lord Jesus Christ, probably the greatest preacher that had more of an impact on the world. There's no doubt about that. Paul had more of an impact on the world than any other preacher that's ever walked in shoe leather besides Christ. That's who he heard preach. The message was a powerful message. In verse number 22, listen to what he said. Having therefore obtained the help of God. The message was a powerful message. Let me tell you the reason why. God was helping the preacher. It wasn't just Paul standing there and Paul talking about it. No, God was helping the preacher. The message was powerful. The message was passionate. He said, verse 27, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. You know what? I believe Paul, in the back of Paul's mind, I believe that he knows it. Just, he's really thinking it. Just any given second, Agrippa's going to get saved. I really believe, Brother Stan, he's thinking it. Just any given moment, he's going to get saved. Matter of fact, he had to be where he was at. He could have got out a whole lot quicker. But he wanted to go to Rome to tell more people about the gospel. That's just Paul when you study chapter 26, 27, 28. You should preach what he's passionate, man. Even though all of this, he still says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. What was Paul's message that day? Can I give it to you? Number one, it was a message of testimony. It was a message of Paul's testimony. Look back with me in verse number 9 of our text. Our text, chapter 26. He said this, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. You that knows Paul's testimony, I'm going to read you a little bit of it. But you that knows Paul's life, if you go back to chapter number 7 of the book of Acts, and what a powerful book it is, man. We had a great lesson in the senior adult Sunday school class this morning on the local church and what it should mean to you. I mean, I want to say this to you. When you go back, Paul is called Saul. And as he's called Saul, he has one agenda, and his agenda is this: to find as many Christians as he can and to either imprison them or to have them killed. And you'll find in chapter number 7, there is a young man by the name of Stephen, and Stephen has been sharing the gospel of Christ, and they bring him in, and Paul is consenting, which he saw at the time, he is consenting to the death of the first martyr that we know, a young man by the name of Stephen. And Paul was the one that made that happen. Chapter number 8 rolls around. Paul continues to put more and more in prison. Whenever you read, I read through it again this morning, chapter number 8. But in chapter number 9, Paul's on the road to Damascus. And the reason that he is headed there is because he's got letters to go find some more Christians and imprison them and to kill them for simply preaching and teaching and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul, while he's on the road to Damascus, you that knows the word of God knows that in chapter number 9, there's a great light that shines down out of heaven. The Holy Spirit of God convicts him. And that day on the road to Damascus, God completely transforms the apostle of Paul's life. And as you read the beginning, without reading it all to you, when you read the beginning of chapter number 26, here's what Paul is saying. There was a day that I was wicked. There was a day that I was vile according to the scriptures. Now hear me and hear me well. If you want to look at it according to religion in that day, Paul was doing everything right. If you want to look at religion, if you want to look at the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and you want to look at Paul's quote unquote religious background, but Paul said there was a day that came in my life that I jumped my religion, that I pushed my good works to the side. There was a day that the Holy Ghost showed me that I was lost and on the road to hell. And he says, Agrippa, the reason I'm here today is because of the day that the good Lord saved me. I sure am glad that I can say along with Paul, I remember the day that the Lord came to where I was at, and he showed me my need of him, and I wasn't almost saved. I'm not working to be saved, but thank God that day, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Honey, my testimony is this. There was a day that he saved me. And Paul says, my message is my testimony. My message is my testimony. Matter of fact, he says this in verse 16. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. And he goes on to say in verse number 17, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. He said, man, there was a day that God changed my life. What was his message that day? What brought King Agrippa to the place where he says, almost thou persuadest me? It was a message that was a testimony. He simply told him what God had done for him. Number two, it was a message of truth. It was a message of truth. Know what your Bible said in verse number 25. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth. I'm reminded of what the Bible said in John 17, 17. He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Watch this. Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. What did the Bible say? The Bible said, in the beginning was the Word, John 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. What is he saying? He's saying this, the Word of God is truth today. You say, preacher, I don't know about this and I don't know about that. Hear me, it don't matter whether you know it about it or not. Right here's the truth today. It is the final authority today. The Bible says this, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. That is the truth today. There's no stipulations on that. There's no gimmicks to that. There's no you give us $1,000 once a week for the next 52 weeks and then you get it. No, the truth is this. If you realize you're lost and on the road to hell, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and you realize that God loves you and God will change your life. Hey, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The truth is this, I sure am glad that Jesus will change your life. Jesus will save you. You don't have to be almost. You don't have to be halfway. You don't have to leave undecided today. There's a God that loved you enough that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm glad Jesus walked up Calvary's hill and gave his life. He that knew no, I feel like preaching, he that knew no sin became sin. Why? So I could be made the righteousness of God through him. The truth is this today, Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. Jesus will save you. It was a message of truth. You say, preacher, have I got to go to class? Nope. Say, preacher, if I got to get confirmed? Nope. Say, preacher, what have I got to do? Lord, I know I need you. I know I'm going to go to hell without you. And Lord, if you'd see fit to save us unworthy sinner, I sure would appreciate it. And you know what he'll do? He'll do exactly. Hey, I might just keep this microphone. I like it. He'll do exactly what he said he'd do, man. That's what he'll do. Paul said the truth and the message is Jesus, amen. Watch this. There was the message was a testimony. The message was truth. But watch this, verse 26. The Bible said, for the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from you, for this thing was not done in a corner. When you study that last part of that out, it simply means it was not done in private. The crucifixion was done in open. The trial was in open. The people cried out the more, crucify him, crucify him. The message was a testimony. The message was truth. But I say this in closing today, the message was told. The message was told. He gave it to him. He told him about it. The message was told. What did he say? He said, almost, almost thou persuadest me. You almost, if we was trying to buy a car, we'd say it this way, you almost sold me on it. That's what he's saying. He's saying, you almost sold me. You almost sold me on Christianity. You almost sold me on Jesus. Hear me and hear me well today. I'm not trying to sell you nothing. I'm trying to give you something. I'm trying to give you something. It's called a message about Jesus. And you're going to make a decision today. If you're lost, you're either going to accept it or you're going to walk away. Almost, 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 almost. I wonder I wonder how many's in hell that would say that exact word today. Almost. Probably Agrippa. I don't see no change nowhere. Almost, man. Almost. You know, I thought about this. Judas Iscariot. 3 years with Jesus. He kissed the door to heaven, still died and went to hell. And let me just time out. He didn't go to hell because he took his life. He went to hell because he rejected Jesus. That's the reason he went to hell. The Jewish religious leaders, they knew the truth, but they crucified the Lord anyway in John 5. Miss Daniel, will you start playing softly? Well, about the rich young ruler, he was almost there, but he just wouldn't believe in Matthew 19. Malchus, Jesus healed the ear that Peter cut off, almost, whenever you study him. The lost thief, he saw Jesus dying. Think about that. That lost thief, one gets saved, one dies lost. You that knows the story of the crucifixion knows that. He saw it. He looked beside of him and didn't, in the world's eyes, see a Savior. But he was looking at a Savior. Amen. He saw a bloody bowels gushing from within. Read Psalms 22. Bones staring at him. Man hanging there. That wasn't a man. It was Jesus. It was the darling Lamb of God. He saw the blood dripping off of Christ. Still died and went to hell. Think about that this morning. The lost thief. What about the soldier who gambled for Jesus' garment and won? He had a testimony and probably told everywhere he went that he won that garment. But the sad thing is, he lost his soul. Felix, here he heard the gospel and wanted to wait until a more convenient time. Festus, well, he heard the gospel and called Paul a madman. Bernice, if you'll read on in chapter 26, in closing it, almost. Agrippa, almost. But the question today is this. Will you leave almost? Will you leave almost? Will you leave almost saved, but altogether lost? Preacher, you just about sold me on it. Number one, I can't sell you on nothing. The Holy Ghost is the one speaking to you, not me. I know I've already said this verse, but I'm going to say it and we're going home. James said our life's a vapor. It's here for a little time, then it vanisheth away. And I know we've talked about this before, but it's all right. We've sung the songs they sung before. How fast time is going, Brother Lloyd. Man, I've been pastor here I'm in my 18th year. Miss Tammy, my oldest daughter's a nurse now. My middle daughter's in college. And my baby daughter's 12. She ain't no baby no more. Matter of fact, she can whoop both of her sisters. They think they can take her, but when she gets fired up, they run the other way. And so do me and her mama. But anyway, I'm just... Seems like yesterday... Brother Easter went home to be with the Lord right after I took the church. Matter of fact, just a day or two after the church voted me in, he went into the hospital and never came back home. The night of his viewing, Miss Tina walked up to me. It's the first time I'd seen her in years. We went to school together, was best friends all through school. She walked up to me and I said, "What are you doing here?" I mean, it's kind of like a dumb question. You're at a viewing, but anyway. She said, "Well," and we began to talk, and then it registered with me, "Well, you grew up around here." And I said, "Well, you got kids, you married." We began small talk and caught up over the past 15 years. And I said, "Hey, are y'all going to church anywhere?" She said, "No." She said, "But I think I'm going to come hear you one time." And I said, "Well, I wish you would." I said, "I really do." And you know what? They came. I was the first people to join a church after I took the church. And now 18 years down the road. Are you with me? Brother Denny, it probably seems like yesterday. Probably seems like yesterday when Miss Tammy said, "Denny, I've got something to tell you." She's probably all cool, calm, and collected like she always is, never getting wound up. "You're going to be a daddy." Probably seems like yesterday. I mean, I doubt that you say, it's a whole different world back there in the 30s. Probably seems like yesterday that they said, "Hey, your baby's born. He's okay. What y'all gonna name him?" And then it was another one. And then it was another one. "Gonna have him more?" She quit on you. Man, it seems like yesterday, does it not? Seems like yesterday. Probably seems like yesterday, Miss Vicky, that you and Brother Jim decided you was gonna call little boy Josh. And now Joshua Ishmael Forrest. And now here he sits. He's grown up in body, but we'll leave it there. It seems like yesterday, does it not? So preach, what are you saying? I'm saying this. Our life is flying by. Brother Elijah and Miss Maddie, it's already been here almost 6 months. It's our youth leader. It seems like last night that I stood up and said, "I got something I want to tell the church." Seems like last night. So preach, what are you saying? I'm saying your life's going to be gone. You're going to be in a grave and you're going to go to hell because you kept procrastinating. Almost. So I ask you this in closing. Will you leave today almost saved?